Hi there, I'm Michael Hall.
And I'm Andy Davis.
And we want to welcome you to The Day Advantage, the D&D show where two old school dads reunited.
And it feels so good.
Exactly. Reunited to talk about new school play.
That's right.
And maybe a dad joke.
Yeah,
I've got a special dad joke. I've got to make sure I pull it up for this excellent. This episode. Because Andy,
hi everybody. I've been gone so long.
A whole episode.
But
you know, that's what happens when you make lots and lots of donuts, and you've got making so many custom made, handmade donuts that your router has not stopped, and your hair has turned white, extra white from the dust.
That's right. Either the stress or the dust. Yeah. No. Before we get too far into it, I don't know if any of our followers have supported the Kickstarter, but if you did, I just want to say thank you very much. We successfully launched a Kickstarter and sold a bunch of donuts, so I'm in the midst of a big push but the surveys have gone out, and I will be making donuts through the rest of the spring.
Right. And some more cons too.
And some more cons. I was at Emerald City a week or two ago, and I'll be at PAX East, I think about the time this episode goes up. I'll be at PAX East, and then I'll be at the WonderCon as well.
That's amazing, Andy. Yeah. I loved seeing all of the cosplay people at Emerald City posing with your donuts. They show up for the cosplay.
Oh, they show up, man. And it was like, and I didn't get everybody who went by. We weren't even in like the big cosplay area. There was apparently a whole other building where all the cosplay actually was. So there were a bunch of people who just never even made it to the hall.
That's cool. I like good cosplay, as you know. All right. Well, we have a special episode. This is going to be 3:15.
Are all of our episodes special?
Yeah, I think so. I think I say this every time. This is going to be an extraordinary episode.
An extraordinary episode.
A smashing good time. This episode will air right after 3:14, which is Pi Day.
That's right.
For everybody out there, all you nerds, I'm sure you all knew and you're like, duh. But Andy, what are we doing for Pi Day?
Well, what we're going to do a co-build. We're going to work together to build a character that is going to be a pirate.
Pirate.
Yar, I like him a pie. There you go. You get an early pun, very bad pun dad joke. We're going to work together and we're going to kind of come up with a character together. We've done this a couple of times with.
I think it's a good one because it's so wide open. I think it's a good one where it's not like some of the tropes where it's pretty obvious, like the trope that Peter and I did where we almost built the exact same character. Because it was, you know, Holy Avenger. Yeah. Of course, there's more variety, but like there's also
to get away from it. I was thinking about, so every year at Halloween, I dress up as a pirate and shoot candy from my porch at children.
You do.
So I think quite a lot about pirates and how they might be. And I think there's so much like pirates in fiction. You've got Captain Hook and Mr. Smee. You've got Rufio. I guess technically is Rufio a pirate? Maybe.
Sure.
Pirate wannabe. You know, you've got, I mean, the entire One Piece crew are pirates. Yeah. You've got, you know, our flag means death. You've got Jack Sparrow and that whole Captain Barbossa. I mean, really the range, a pirate, it's very broad. So I'm super interested to see where you and I land, both in terms of vibe and in terms of actual capability.
I love
you can go edgelord. You can do more steed from our flag means death. You can go kind of way around all over the place.
And I think there's no class that, I mean, you could say swashbuckler rogue is your prime class, but I think both of us might take it different, interesting ways in. So we always build to level 8. So we're going to build this character up to level 8. We're going to use our custom array of 17, 15, 13, 12, 10, 8, which gives us a nice sort of heroic character with a flaw. I think that's the right way to do it. Maybe we start with race, Andy, because there's a bunch of new races have come into play in D&D. Humblewood from Hit Point Press has a massive load of new races that are super cool, animal-based races. So I'll just start, like, there's one race that caught my eye that would make for a fun and sort of silly pirate. There's a race called a Jerbeen, and a Jerbeen is basically a mouse person. with a furry tail. So it's a mouse with a furry tail.
Mouse with a furry tail.
A Jerbeen. And it just, like, I mean, the idea of a mouse pirate, it's just, you know, it's kind of awesome. Right.
Very funny, because I was looking at the more, I was also looking at races, trying to figure out a race that I thought was kind of interesting. And there's always this inclination, I think, sometimes too, at least for me.
Yeah.
You start min-maxing almost immediately.
Right.
So like your mouse race is a good example of leaning into something not that.
Not
but min-maxing. Also to like look at like, and I was, and for whatever reason, I was in like real edgelord space when I was sort of conceptualizing it. And I was thinking about Yuan Ti.
You know, Yuan Ti is interesting because I was thinking Gith Yankee might be really interesting.
Yankee Pirate would be.
Would be, super, you know, space pirate, you know,
yeah, like space, that's, pirate's kind of cool, like, I right, really like thought that about space pirate. But
if we're thinking like a very interesting and very Baldur's Gate 3 forward, but also different, because the Baldur's Gate Gith Yankee are sort of different than the Gith Yankee in D&D Beyond and D&D 5e.
Yeah, of course.
It's a really interesting idea for a pirate, right? Like, you could even be somebody who's left space and is now, you know, become to a more terrestrial home.
Right.
It'd be really interesting.
Right. Well, let's look at the Yuan Ti just for comparison.
Versus Gith Yankee? All right, yeah,
versus Gith Yankee, just to... Yep. So they're both humanoid, they're both medium, they both have walking speeds. I believe they both have dark vision. Does Gith Yankee have dark vision?
I don't think so. Size is medium, walking speed is 30. You have astral knowledge, which gives you skill and a weapon of your choice. You have Gith Yankee psionics, which is kind of interesting because you get some spells as you level up. And then you get resistance to psychic damage, which is kind of interesting. Right.
Yeah. So Yuan Ti have dark vision. They have magic resistance. So they just get flat advantage against saving throws against spells. They have poison resilience. So they have advantage on saving throws and resistance to poison damage, which poison is a more common.
Super common.
Super common. And there's not that many. I mean, I guess, you know, dwarves get resistance too. So, and then they have serpentine spellcasting. They just know the poison spray cantrip.
Yep.
They also can cast animal friendship an unlimited number of times, but you can only target snakes with it.
Oh. Water snakes.
And they can also cast suggestion. So there was something I thought, again, very edgelord.
Yeah.
But there is something about the space pirate thing. Ooh, ice pirates would be a real fun theme to lean into.
Well, I mean, if that's the case, and then this is a race that everybody has access to. I mean, maybe we do the Gith Yankee.
I like it. Let's do the Gith Yankee. Yeah.
All right. So Gith Yankee are one of the members of the people who escaped servitude to Mind Flayers. They split from their cousins, the Githzeri, and fled to the astral plane. And they're lanky people with skin tones of yellow, green, and brown. They have physical prowess and psionic might instilled in them by the Mind Flayers. You have a thing called astral knowledge. So you can mystically access the reservoir experiences of entities connected to the astral plane. Whenever you finish a long rest, you gain proficiency in one skill of your choice with one weapon or tool of your choice, selected from the player's handbook. What's really interesting there is that depending on what we choose, it would give them access to a whole set of a special weapon, or give them tools that we...
Well, I mean, yeah, or even just like the ability to, you know, take a nap. You know, take a long rest and then wake up the next day and be able to
change it,
operate a sailboat,
yeah,
you know, or be like, oh, hey, we just found a really cool thing. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Let's keep that in mind. So then the other thing they have is Gith Yankee psionics. So they have the mage hand cantrip, and it is invisible when you cast it,
which is awesome.
That's pretty awesome. At third level, you get the jump spell, which is also kind of fun and cool for a pirate. Right?
Yes, definitely very fun for a pirate. Not the most useful spell ever.
No, but if it's free.
Situationally, like, if it's free, there you go.
Well, but even more importantly, at fifth level, you get Misty Step.
Yeah.
So those are the cool things. And then you, as I mentioned before, you have psychic resilience, so you have resistance to psychic damage. So, all right, we've got our Gith Yankee ready to go.
Yeah.
Then the next big decision, I think, is what are we going to do at the class level? Because it's wide open. Did you have thoughts where you were going to go with it?
Again, in the edgelord vein, when I was thinking Yuan Ti, I was thinking possibly doing some sort of paladin warlock combo, like very charisma focused. Because there's a warlock pact called Fathomless Depths, which is, it's just straight up pirate.
Oh, you know? That's kind of interesting.
It's, let me pull it up and I'll read a little bit about it. So you plunged into a pact with the deeps. It could be an entity of the ocean or an otherworldly sea, like the astral sea. First level, you get create and destroy water. You get gust of wind. You have like a pretty good spell list, including it with your fifth level spells. You get Bigby's hand, which appears as a tentacle. You get you can summon a magical, a spectral tentacle to strike at your foes. That's your sort of first level fathomless feature. It lasts for a minute and until you use the feature to create another tentacle. You gain a swimming speed and you can breathe underwater. Also very good. It's sixth level. You get the fathomless feature. You get resistance to cold damage. And if you're submerged, any other creature that is fully submerged can understand your speech. So basically you can talk to anything in the water. You also get your tentacles start functioning at sixth level as a, they will defend you as well. Kind of an armor of Agathys thing. And then at your 10th level, fathomless, which we won't get to, you can cast the spell Everd's Black Tentacle. It, I don't know. It's just kind of,
very flavorful in the right direction. It's very
flavorful in the right thing. I think even if you were talking about the Astral Sea, it'd be very easy to flavor it as, spectral tentacles.
This character from the Astral Plane, but then, grounded legitimately into a seafaring pirate, which is cool. I think that way we stay a little bit more on target. Theme wise,
and then and then there's like an interesting dynamic because paladins and warlocks both have charisma as their main piece. I was like, oh, would it make sense to get like one or two levels, and then of course as a warlock you've got your Eldritch Blast, you've got all that other stuff going on, but then if you bring in a paladin, you could be like even like a second level paladin so long as you've got like oath, and the oath could be almost anything. I was thinking like Oath of Vengeance and this Fathomless Pact could be an interesting combination, but it does like it takes you into like you are a bit of an edgelord with a character like this. So I don't know, did you have any thoughts?
I had three ideas.
Okay.
That was kicking around. One was I was thinking just a straight up fighter, right? Like I was thinking I hadn't gone much deeper than fighter, but just somebody who's just probably a battle master, and then just making them just like really hack and slash their way through piratedom, which is pretty appealing just from a straight build perspective.
Yeah,
not crazy interesting from a flavor perspective, but I wonder if you put fighter and warlock together, maybe that gets a little interesting. The other one that I had that was near the top of my list was a College of Swords or College of Valor bard.
I was thinking about College of Swords or Valor Bard. Like
I love Bard.
I know.
And they just feel very piratey to me. It's very easy to go from Bard to Pirate and very on flavor. And then it would be about, just smart spell choice. I've never thought about doing a Bard Warlock, though. That could be curious. A
Bardlock could be kind of interesting.
A Bardlock. I don't think we've ever built. I don't think I've ever built a Bardlock. I don't know whether it works, but it sounds awesome.
I like that. I mean, I think you could build a couple different Bardlocks. I mean, you could do like Hexblade Warlock, which doesn't get you the ocean sort of vibes, but is like might have some interesting complementary features.
What if we start with Bard and we go three levels of Bard and then we look at what it would be like if then a Warlock came into play?
Okay. Yeah. You can see how that might develop character storyline too. You're just a happy-go-lucky Githyanki bard, swordmaster bard,
and then we see whether it fathomless makes sense at that point. I think it can be really interesting because at least it's charisma that way.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, is so long as it's I think that's what you're really after, is you want
this. I have added Bard level one. So the great thing about, the reason we start with Bard, at least in my opinion, is we get all of those skills, which then becomes a really, really, like, that's the thing. I think one of the reasons why you like Rogue and one of the reasons I like Bard is I just love being skill monkey. I like being able to do a lot of things. And I'm a big fan of being the face of the party. I like doing that, playing that role. We get three musical instruments, Andy. Proficiencies. We get light armor, simple weapons, hand crossbows, long swords, rapier, short swords. We get three musical instruments of our choice. We get saving throws with dexterity and charisma and skills. We get to choose any three. I don't think we really have to go through all the musical
possible
instruments.
Absent.
But let's go through skills because I think those are the most important.
Guys, we're picking bagpipes, war gong, and the tauntaun. I don't know what
weirdest
a tauntaun
ones.
Is. Yes.
Okay.
Because I've come from the Astral Sea, and these are the things that are like the traditional, elements. Yeah,
he never learned how to play the normal stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe this thing called a songhorn, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
All right. I think the first skill we choose is acrobatics, right? For a pirate.
I think you could go either. I think you could go either way. You could go athletics too, but I think Gith Yankee, just their build is always fairly lean, light. So yeah. I would say acrobatics. Let's say acrobatics.
Cause I think we're going to do, I mean, I feel like we're going to do a dex charisma, yeah. Dex character, like rapier, or, I mean, I guess we could do scimitar or whatever. Well, let's hold acrobatics for now.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get four skills coming out of this with the Gith Yankee, yeah. And with this. So maybe what do we double down on with the charisma, maybe?
Yeah, I was going to say like acrobatics. I was going to say persuasion, yeah. Or intimidation or both. We could do both persuasion, yeah. And intimidation. I never really think of pirates as being particularly deceptive.
They don't need to be.
No, I think
we would do. Either intimidation or persuasion, and then do stealth or survival. I think those are good ones to sort of balance out, or perception. I would choose one of those, perception, stealth, or survival, or even sleight of hand as a pirate, just to give us a little more breadth of things that we can do.
Let's take sleight of hand.
Okay.
Maybe we
with our invisible mage hand, that seems.
Yeah, you know, then like all of a sudden right you get kind of like, yeah. maybe that's why they left the Astral Sea, is it too right. Got into trouble gambling. Into trouble.
And then we've got spellcasting, and we've got Bardic Inspiration. If you haven't heard what Bardic Inspiration is, it's pretty cool. You can inspire others through stirring words or music. To do so, you use your bonus action to choose one creature within 60 feet of you who can hear you, and you give them a die, in this case level one, a d6, and then they can use it whenever they make an ability check, attack roll, or saving throw. I will say that you have to really remember this, and you have to remind people endlessly that they have them,
that they have inspiration. It's true, you have to remind people that they have DM inspiration sometimes.
I think the big thing you have to do, like if you're playing in person, it's a little easier, because what you can do is you can have a number of these dice with you, and you hand them the literal die, so that they have it with their set of dice. A little harder to do online to remember those things.
Yes, for sure.
As a DM, I let people even just retroactively hand them out in moments of need, because otherwise it just becomes a lame thing. All right.
So then,
should we do ability scores?
Do you want to do those? Yeah, we can do ability scores and then come back to the leveling up. Okay.
All right. Well, so our first one is, we've got a 17. So 17 in charisma.
Yeah, I think so.
And then I think we're considering doing this as a dex based
character. Yeah. So 15 in dexterity.
15 in dexterity. Now what? I think they're in wise more than smart, right?
Oh, I was going to say they're smart.
Smart more than wise.
Pirates to me are never wise.
I was thinking wily.
Wily, okay, that's smart, fair. Yeah, right? I could go. Yeah, I could see the ways. So
you don't play them as like I make good decisions. You play them as I'm street smart.
Yes. Okay. So give them an 8 intelligence, and then do Do we want to go so far as to say a 13 wisdom?
I think we do. Yeah, I think we go, because it really 13 wisdom, 12 con, right? I think that gives us
and 10 strength.
And 10 strength. All right. So 10 strength, 15 dex, 12 con, 8. Intelligence, 13 wisdom, 17 charisma. So now we can either do +1 +1 +1, or we can do +2 +1. +1 +1 +1 would give us 18, a 14 wisdom, and a 15 dex, 16 dex, which is,
I like that.
Which is appealing, because I think we might choose feats rather than let's do that for now, and then if we choose an ability score feat, we might come back to this.
Yeah.
Right.
So they got the riz, they got some dexterity, and they got some constitution. Is that what we just said?
Yeah. No, dexterity, charisma, wisdom. We could choose constitution and get our constitution up to 14 if we wanted for hit point, rather than wisdom, which would give us perception and some of those other things that we better save.
I don't think it's going to be a significant enough difference. Like this character is never going to be a high HP character. No. So the wisdom's probably more useful on a day-to-day
more interesting
basis.
I think. All right.
So that puts us at an 18 charisma.
And then let's
18
just go,
riz.
Yeah. Let's just go through and do our background, since it's going to be pirate, right?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, it doesn't have to be. I mean, it's like,
well, the nice thing about pirate is it gives us water vehicles and navigator's tools, athletics, and perception. It just gives us a standard package of,
yes, that's true,
of good things that are all going to be aligned.
Yeah, well, yeah, and to automatically get athletics is a good thing without having to take it.
And then we have a bad reputation. No matter where you go, people are afraid of you due to your reputation. You can get away with minor criminal offenses such as refusing to pay for food or breaking down doors at a local shop, since most people will not report your activity to authority.
Think about how bad that is. That your reputation, your reputation is so crazy that you can kick the door down to a shop and they just go, oh, if my next door neighbor did that, I would report him to the guards because the guards would take care of it. But this guy, no, not this guy.
I think, you know, what's interesting about this, and I don't think so enough people lean into
counterintuitive.
This, that every, I want to remind people that every background that you can take comes with something like that. Use them.
Oh my
God. That's really fun. Like, I don't know about the kicking down door stuff. A DM might give you problems with that one, but like, the refusing to pay and getting away with it, like, that's just a fun flavor.
Harassing someone on the street and having the guards just be like, I'm not
it's like
that,
a
dude.
Free intimidation, right? Yeah. Like, and you say, no, this is part of my background. Like, you talk about it with your DM about what they'll let you get away with, but it's
how
pretty
hard
cool.
You can push it. Yeah.
Because, I mean, some, like, the DMs will probably make you do an intimidation check, but you're like, no, I mean, this is kind of baked into my background. All right. So we're going back to class now, and we're going to go up to level, we're going to do the 3-level jump because we get to choose our Bard College. The two that I think are the most interesting for us are either College of Swords or College of Valor. Personally, I think College of Swords is much better than College of Valor. Do you want to hear the difference between the two?
Or I think just for our audience's sake, I don't disagree with you.
Second. Once you bring up College of Valor, and I'll bring up College of Swords. The College of Swords are called blades. They can entertain through daring feats of weapon prowess, blade performing stunts such as sword swallowing, knife throwing, or juggling, or mock combat. Though they use their weapons to entertain, they are also highly trained and skilled warriors in their own right. So you get a fighting style, you get proficiency in medium armor and the scimitar. So that's kind of cool and very piratey. And then you get a bunch of blade flourishes. So you get a defensive flourish. You can use one of your bardic inspiration to cause a weapon to deal extra damage to your target. The damage equals the number you roll on the bardic die. You can also add that number to your AC until the start of your next turn. Really, really cool. Very useful feat in the game. There's also slashing flourish. You can deal extra damage to target you hit and any other creature of your choice you can see within 5 feet of you. So you get sort of two hits there, but you only do that extra damage that you roll on your bardic inspiration die. Right. For those of you coming from Baldur's Gate 3, not the same thing. So you get this right. And then mobile flourish. You can use one of your bardic inspiration to cause damage, the extra damage that you hit. But you can also push the target 5 feet away from you on that die. And then you can immediately use your reaction to move your walking speed to an unoccupied space within 5 feet of the target. So you can push them back and then re-engage with them. And then you also get an extra attack at 6th level. So it's pretty pretty strong fighting.
So
go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say College of Valor is a little bit different. They're in the tradition of the Skald, you know, the sort of heroic fighter who is also telling stories to inspire the next generation of people. When you take the college, you get proficiency, medium armor, shields, and martial weapons. So you can move beyond the real basic, simple weapons and stuff that we see. And then at 3rd level, you get combat inspiration. And so at this point, your bardic inspiration, typical bardic inspiration, really only helps with your attack or on your saving throws. Combat inspiration means that you can either add that die to the damage. You know, so if I have inspired you and I give you a D6, you can add an extra D6 to damage using that, which is cool. Or if an attack is made against you, you can use your reaction to roll the bardic inspiration die and add it to your AC, right? So in some ways, basically, College of Valor, it just radically increases the utility of your inspiration. So you don't have more of them, but they are much more useful.
Can you, on the combat side, can you add it to your own attack rolls, or is it to someone you give's attack rolls?
You're still inspiring others in battle, so you have to give a creature that has bardic inspiration from you can roll that die die and add that number to the weapon damage they just made, or if an attack is made against them, not against you.
Right. So it's much more of a help.
Yeah, you're still helping others, right? It's not, which is in the tradition, you know, you get the same 6th level extra attack, so you can attack twice. Mm-hmm. And then at 14th level, you can actually cast a spell and make a bonus action attack in the same round. And that's kind of its capstone ability. I think the way, especially if we're thinking about multiclassing, I think the flourishes from the College of Swords are actually probably more useful.
Yeah, the College of Swords, the one thing they get at 14 is that you don't have to even, you can just use a D6 and you don't have to use your Bardic Inspiration at all.
It
becomes super useful.
Yeah.
I like Valor. I think it's really interesting, but I think pirates are a little bit more selfish.
I've played Valor Bards before, and I think there's more punch in the College of Swords.
Okay. Frankly, let's do it.
You know, so
College of Swords it is. All right. Ding, ding, ding. So with College of Swords and at 3rd level, I will note that we got Jack of All Trades at 2nd level, which means we could add half our proficiency bonus rounded down to any ability check that you make that isn't already something we're proficient in. So again, super useful. And then we get Song of Rest, which is basically we can help people when they take their short rests, basically.
Yes, yes.
All right, so College of Swords gives us expert. Oh, we need to go back and choose one more skill from our Gith Yankee. So let's choose one more skill. We are super. We could take Stealth, Survival, Investigation, Intimidation, Insight. I think
this is from the Astral Knowledge.
Yeah. Insight or Stealth feel right to me, or maybe even Survival feel the most on flavor.
Did we take Intimidation? We did not yet.
No.
I would take Intimidation. I think pirates should be intimidating.
Okay.
And then we get another proficiency, which I had put down vehicles, water.
Yeah, we already get that now with our pirate. This is the one that we can change anytime. So let's just not pick it just yet, because this is the one that we can change at any long rest.
Well, and this is the one that if we decide we want a weapon that's not within our, you know, you can just take, I know how to use it. I have astral knowledge on how to use a great axe.
Yeah. I think the real question that we're going to ask ourselves is this a two-handed weapon fighter or a one-handed weapon fighter? Because I think with a two-handed weapon fighter, we gain more usefulness out of that. But I don't know. Maybe once we go to Warlock, maybe we then switch over to a single weapon. Maybe.
Yeah. All right. I think we should pick, and then in Gith Yankee Psionics, we should pick Charisma.
Yes, absolutely. All right. And then, so back to our College of Swords Bard, we get extra. Yep. The reason I wanted to do that was because we have expertise. So now we get to choose. We have, what's ridiculous, Andy, we have 6 proficiencies already. So we can choose expertise amongst acrobatics, athletics, intimidation, perception, persuasion, or sleight of hand. I think he's going to talk his way out of things. Or she.
You think persuasion?
I think persuasion. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I mean, I like the combination of persuasion and intimidation.
Yeah.
As like, especially if he's a face character, right? That he's got this sort of, you can flip on this sort of menace.
So do you want to go? I mean, we're already pretty strong in intimidation without expertise. You want to do expertise in both? It seems like
maybe it's a waste. Acrobatics, maybe?
I think we choose something that's one of our dex based skills, either sleight of hand or acrobatics, I think.
I think acrobatics.
Okay, yeah. That sounds like more fun.
This guy,
you just get more out of it. There's nothing wrong with having both persuasion and intimidation, but most of the time you're going to be choosing one, and then there's every now and then you'll choose the other. It's not like you want to double down on it all the time. Sure. Okay, our bonus proficiency goes up, so we get the scimitar, and then we get to choose a fighting style. The real question is, are we going to be doing dueling, which would be basically a single weapon and no other weapon, and we get 2 extra +2 to damage bonus, or 2 weapon fighting, which is really interesting, and we get to add about our ability.
You love 2 weapon fighting.
I don't actually. It's mechanically, it's kind of funky. It doesn't work as well as that you want it to. I just think it's cool from a. It's just cool.
It's just cool looking.
Yeah, I'm for a pirate, you know, like having a rapier in one hand and a short sword in the other, you know.
And there's nothing that says you can't do, you can still carry 2 things in your hand, you know, you can have a dagger.
You can absolutely use that second weapon.
It just means you don't get your proficiency ability modifier on that.
But if we do take a hex blade, because then we get the charisma bonus on our weapon.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but it's only with our hex weapon. Yeah, still pretty
cool. I'm going to say dueling.
Okay.
Just because I feel like, here's the thing, it's like, the guaranteed plus two on every attack
extra damage. Yeah.
It
certainly makes our decks that much more powerful.
Yeah, you know, it's just all of a sudden you're
right,
like, oh,
let's do it. Yeah. Dueling. All right. That also means that we can carry a shield unless we go to a single weapon down the road. I like it.
I don't know if we have proficiency in shields, but.
Oh, yeah, right. We might just need one weapon in the scimitar.
Okay.
Well, this starts to make it want us to go in that single weapon direction.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can always come back to it if we don't like it. All right. So do we want to try, as we were talking about doing, adding in the warlock here?
Let's look at it.
Okay.
I just want to look at it and see like what.
All right. So let's do it like what you get your warlock at second level or third?
You get your patron and your pact magic at first level. You get your eldritch invocations and your boons and your all that stuff at.
Well, let's take it to third. Let's see what we can really, really see what this might do at third level. So let's see what three levels of warlock, because we're going to do warlock. We're going to go to three levels, right?
Yeah.
So let's see what the three levels gets us. So otherworldly patron, I love that idea of the fathomless. So let's just start there.
Yep.
I've already read that, so we don't need to go. We
get an expanded spell list. We get our tentacles.
Yeah.
We get our gift of the sea. So now we can breathe underwater and we've got a swim speed. Swim speed that's faster than our walking, our regular movement. And then we get Eldritch Invocations.
And then,
And I was just going to say, like, you almost have to take Agonizing. Is it Agonizing Blast?
Yeah, agonizing blast. I did a character recently where I'm not taking it, but there's a real reason why I'm not taking it. But I will take it the second I get another.
You get another one,
I will.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I did a warlock recently where I have the mask of many faces because I wanted them to have disguise self as a cantrip, which I think is just super interesting. It was all flavor choice, but I think so. Agonizing blast, and then the question is, what is our next one? Because there's a lot of good ones.
There's Devil's Sight.
Devil's Sight is really interesting if you're going to be casting darkness, because then you cast darkness and then you're just basically a monster inside the darkness. But it's not the best team play.
There's also Eldritch Mind, which gives you advantage on con saves for maintaining concentration.
I don't think we're going to have a lot of concentration spells, though, are we?
Yeah, I don't think so. Some of the the tentacle stuff could be concentration spells.
So here's a question. Repelling Blast is always kind of fun when put with Agonizing Blast, if we want to just keep people away.
I mean, that is kind of, it's very piratey to basically have your own hand cannon that like literally blows people off the side of boats and stuff.
I mean, you could even flavor it as like, it's like sort of a, it's sort of a spectral cannon.
Yeah, it's like literally a handgun. His Eldritch Blast is just literally like spectral
blunderbuss,
flintlocks, or spectral blunderbuss.
All right, let's do it.
Pretty fun.
I mean, it's very straightforward. Like, there's nothing special about it, but it sounds really cool for a pirate. Okay, and then at third level, we get, and there are a lot of good Eldritch Invocations. The one thing I will say is that we chose the two most standard, but like the one thing I would say before you just go and do what we did, which is the super standard, look and see whether there's anything interesting flavor. So like I said, I just took up a pirate where I did Pact of the Chain. So I took the Chain Master, which is really important. Mm-hmm. But then I took the disguise self as a at will, which I just thought was like, for my character, I wanted him to be able to do that. This is really cool though. Just from go ahead, Andy.
Oh no, I was going to say, and then the next thing, I 100% agree with you that you should look at the thing that gives a warlock its interest and its power and makes them feel special is not their spell list. And it's not like the Eldritch Blast. It's like literally your choices around which invocations to take. Yeah,
that is it.
And they're really impactful on the flavor of the character that you're making.
That's exactly it. Because you can, the one risk with a warlock is to mistake them for a standard spellcaster. Because you just don't get enough spells to make that very interesting. You're kind of just a blaster. You're a ranged character. So you got to think about what you're going to do with that rangedness. Because I mean, let's just be really serious about it. Eldritch Blast is the just insanely powerful. And when you give them the two things that we just gave them, it makes it very, very powerful.
Yeah.
But it works much more towards the attack version of a warlock rather than a rather than all the other cool things that they can do.
Right.
All right. So, Pact Boon.
I'm going to pitch Pact of the Blade.
I think we chose it. I think we're moving in on this guy being this character being very sort of offensive minded and sort of.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and it's just so Pact of the Blade. Basically, he can manifest a weapon in his hand, or she. They can manifest a Pact weapon in their hand. That can be any melee weapon that can be created, and while you make it, you're proficient with it, right? Which I think is a great way to kind of sidestep some of the issues with like only being able, you know, you could take longsword and have your pact weapon be a longsword, even though it's not a weapon that a bard would typically be proficient with, which I think is super interesting. You can send it away. You can bring it back. If you recover a magic weapon at some point, you can cause that magic weapon to become your pact blade, which means then you can sort of send it away or bring it back. But basically you're never without a weapon and it just is instantly in your hand when you need it, which I think is kind of fun to the idea of this pirate that sticks up one hand and suddenly a blunderbuss manifests in one hand and a sword in the other, and then they're just punching away. Could be very, very cinematic.
And what's cool is that you can really choose any weapon because it's whatever weapon you are, the second you choose it, you are proficient with it. So we actually, Andy, we don't even really need to use
the psionic.
No, because it's like we can, if you're doing a hex weapon, it could be a great sword or great axe.
Whatever it is that you want
you want it to be. All right. I'm into it.
Okay. So
we'll keep thinking about what kind of weapon this pirate uses, but I almost feel like it's a great sword, but it looks like a giant scimitar.
It could be like a buster sword. Yeah. You know, like just, I do like the idea of a great sword that it's just, you know, that's very, or like, you know, I mean, I think the Githyanki traditionally have that silver sword that they carry, which is kind of like a long sword or bastard sword.
Yeah. But I was just thinking like for a pirate, it might be really interesting to have a giant scimitar, but it's flavored like a scimitar.
It's got the curve to it across its length. That could be cool. I'm down with it.
All right. So we are three levels of bard and three levels of warlock. Maybe we'll come and do spells just last blast. But the real question now is like, what do we do with our last two levels? There's really not much we get at going up to five with warlock, because we don't get anything really interesting until six. If we go to five with the bard, we get Font of Inspiration, which means we get our bardic inspiration back on a short rest, which is pretty powerful when combined with the fact that we're going to be asking for short rests a lot as a warlock to get our spell slots back.
Yes.
The flip side to that is if we go 4-4, we get 2 feats. So the question is, do we want for level 8, do we want to be getting everything back on short, or do we want 2 feats
or an ASI and a feat?
Could do a lot.
I think the idea of getting two of the ability score increases is way better. I mean, as useful as it is to get your bardic back.
We could do that at 9th level anyway. So let's do the two ASIs. Let's go 4-4. So we get two. We can choose a feat and an ASI. I mean, maybe that's what we do. Because, I mean, the question, Andy, is do you have an ASI in mind or a feat in mind?
That is a good question. I did not have a particular one in mind.
The only thing we didn't get by taking Fathomless is we didn't get Hexblade, which gives us a lot of other really cool stuff. But we chose the Fathomless, which I think is still just better. It's better for stay on flavor. But then that means we need to think through. I mean, like, we could take Slasher, which is interesting.
Right.
Yeah. You know what? The problem we're still faced with this build, we aren't able to use our charisma
for our weapon attacks
because we're not a Hexblade. Gives us the magical weapon. I think we're still, Andy, I think with this build, because we're not Hexblade, we need to actually stick with a dex-based weapon, or else we don't get.
Yeah, we could instead of Slasher, we could try Piercer and then go for like a rapier or something like that.
Yeah, I had not really thought through like the difference of Pact Blade without Hexblade. I don't think I've ever done it. It's interesting. It's not as good, but it's definitely pretty cool. I love the idea that you'd summon and dismiss the weapon. That's really cool.
So Piercer gives us increased strength or dex by 1.
Yep.
So our dex would go up another 1, which is good. Once per turn, when you hit a creature with an attack that deals piercing damage, you can re-roll one of the attack's damage dice, and you must use the new roll. And when you score a critical hit, you can roll an additional damage die when determining the extra damage. So it's, and piercer would track with rapier,
yeah,
which I'm always a big fan of, which is also a dex weapon and I believe covered in our, well, it doesn't yes. matter if it's our pact weapon, we're proficient in
yeah.
it.
But we want a dex based weapon. So it's either a scimitar or rapier, but rapier is 1d8, whereas a scimitar is 1d6.
Yeah. And there's nothing that says, yeah. I mean, it could be a very piratey scimitar.
A very piratey
rapier. It's the basket hilt. That's the whole thing.
Right.
It's very Errol Flynn. I like piercer.
Okay, let's do it.
That works.
And then
I think it sort of fits within our thing. You know, I mean, there's also like, you know, I mean, mobile is never a bad choice.
I think if we choose mobile, which I love, then I think what we do is we go back and redo our beginning one plus one plus one plus one so that we get to an 18 dex and an 18 charisma and we forget about the wisdom.
I think let's do that.
But
let's
yeah, take, mobile for this character
mobile's just too good, and it's the idea that you can attack somebody and then move away without having to worry about
and that extra attacks. 10 feet of movement is so critical.
And also, like, given that we're kind of a ranged blaster, even though we've got a sword, we're never going to want to be standing next to somebody who can hit us.
Yeah,
right. So I think mobile is the right way to go.
When that allows us to use our, it sort of eliminates one of our flourishes, but it makes the other two that much more powerful, so we aren't deciding because we don't need to really. Okay, that's pretty cool. So then we need to go back to our ability scores and go plus two plus one rather than plus one plus one plus one.
Yeah,
and then we do plus two on dex and plus one on charisma, and that gives us so now we've gone back and redone our ability scores. So we have 10 strength, 18 dex, 12 con, 8 intelligence, 13 wisdom, 18 charisma.
I'm gonna pitch for our other feat.
Yeah.
Something that I think we should go with chef. He's the ship's cook, or he was the ship's cook. So now I've pitched it, right?
Yeah.
And I've gotten you to laugh, which is always my goal. But now let me talk to you about the rationality for it, why, right?
All right.
The wisdom score that we just lost, we get back because we can either go up con or wisdom.
No, but we
can lift by one.
We can't, you mean instead of piercer?
No, so yeah, I'm sorry. Instead of piercer, if we take mobile and we take chef, mobile gives us all the movement stuff. And then this would let us bump our wisdom by one. As part of a short rest, you can cook special food that at the end of the short rest, any creature who eats the food and spends one or more hit dice regains an extra 1d8 hit points, which is all a very bard-like thing to do. And with 1 hour of work, when you finish a long rest, you can cook a number of treats equal to your proficiency bonus. And those treats last for 8 hours, and any creature can use a bonus action to eat one of those treats to gain temporary hit points equal to your proficiency bonus. So both of those are good, helpful things.
We do lose the 18 dex, though.
Oh, do we?
I love it. I'm actually not. I was opposed straight up. But it is really like, if you decided that this was, he was the ship's, maybe he was the ship's cook on a Githyanki
Starjammer. Yeah.
And then he got down to Earth and he's like, or down to, you know, terrestrial level, and he's like, screw this, but he still likes to cook.
Yeah. I love the idea that he was the ship's cook and then he got thrown off the Spelljammer or whatever. And now he's here, but he's such a, but the level of Spelljammer, he's like a pirate captain now, even though he was a cook and a Spelljammer, because he's basically big fish in a little pond.
But it definitely messes with our build. But you know what? I'm here for it, Andy.
Okay.
We've never done chef before.
It's just kind of a,
it's weird.
I'm looking at it, I was like, oh, this is actually pretty good.
Oh, you know what we could do though? Let's switch to constitution, because you can do it can do constitution, and then what we do is
constitution takes us from a 12 to a 13, which doesn't
really no but I mean, we could switch it. We could flip-flop our constitution and wisdom base.
Let's do that. I'm okay with that. This is gonna be very confusing. We made it,
I know.
Let's give a little recap of the ability scores for our listeners.
Well, we will, but let's see what it looks like. I'm just trying to decide whether it was better to, and whether we also then go back to the plus one, plus one, plus one then. Let me just see what this looks like.
Okay, so if we are at the plus one, plus one, plus one that we were at before, we would be strength 10, dex is 16, constitution's 14.
We're going to end up with an odd number no matter what we do.
Intelligence is 8, wisdom is 13, charisma is 18, which I'm not horrified by. I think that is, it's actually pretty broadly strong, even though do we take a 13 constitution?
I have a different way to go.
Okay.
We do the plus two, plus one. but we put our plus two in charisma because we're going to end up with an odd number no matter what on this one. I'd rather get us close to the 20 charisma down the road in this case because he's a cook. I think we switch it up and so he goes 10 strength. So we this is the base, 17 in charisma, 15 in dex, 13 in con, 12 in wisdom, 10 in strength, 8 in intelligence. Then we take the plus two, plus one, plus two in charisma, plus one in dexterity. So now we've got a 10 strength, 16 dex, 13 con, 8 intelligence, 12 wisdom, and a 19 charisma. But then we take chef and that gives us the con. So we've got a 14 con. So it goes 10 strength, 16 dex, 14 con, 8 intelligence, 12 wisdom, 19 charisma. Then down the road at some point, we take either an ASI or
whatever.
We either take an ASI if we feel like we're going to be hitting with the sword a lot, we then take the ASI in dexterity. But I think to your point, we're not going to be in the mix as much. We're going to be keeping people away and then hitting them when we need to. And then we can get our charisma up to 20 and that makes our spells that much more effective.
Okay.
All right. So now it's all about spell choice. I mean, in equipment, we'll just start with leather and the rapier, right? Maybe we get to studded leather.
So. Yep. We get a belaying pin and 50 feet of silk rope. I mean, I'm going to take a rabbit's foot. I think it's probably some sort of space rabbit.
Space rabbit, yeah.
I'm going to take...
the rabbit is the most dangerous animal in space, Andy. That's what it is.
Do we take a diplomat's pack or an entertainer's pack?
I took the entertainer's pack.
Yeah, it comes with,
He does like sword, you know what he is, Andy? Because he's a swords bard and he entertains. He's like the guy at the hibachi, like and he does all like the knife tricks.
Like we have a good Yankee hibachi chef, from Benihana's. Okay, guys, this is his name. His name is Benihana.
Oh my God! Yes, and he's a Benihana.
He's a good Yankee Benihana chef who's come trapped in the Forgotten Realms, and is now, that is how, and his inspiration is.
Oh my God.
Maybe
the chef just did it.
He just literally manifests like the kitchen knives or the cleavers that he needs when he's chopping food.
Yes.
Like a minor, oh my gosh. And then he's got a war gong, but it's really for calling people to dinner.
That's right. You know? Oh my God. That's just too ridiculous. I love it.
Oh, that's amazing.
I thought studded leather was a 14 AC. It's a 12. I don't know why I was thinking it was a 14. So we got a 15 AC. So is he still not super great?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always unfortunately the tragedy of a lot of.
You know what we could do? I think we could use that astral thing to give us shield proficiency, couldn't we?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's not included.
Oh well, it was a good idea.
I picked net just
sure. I was like, or whip. You could pick whip.
Net or whip would be good.
But the problem is, if he's wielding a weapon in his hand, it's offhand. He doesn't get that plus. He doesn't get that extra plus two to damage.
Yes. Okay. Change his name.
Maybe he's Benihana.
Benihana.
It's not such a it's just so it's a rip off.
So it's not quite like on the nose. So much Benihana. Good God. Now I desperately want to play this guy now. Okay. Well, let's talk spells real quick.
All right. So let's just go quickly on Bard. I mean, I think Vicious Mockery, of course. Right, I think that we start there.
Yeah,
he already has mage hand, so he doesn't need that. Prestidigitation, sure, because that sort of goes with the cook thing, right? Like you can change flavors and stuff. Like. The question is the third one.
Blade Ward is horrible. Dancing Lights. Doesn't have dark.
He has message or mending in my books, or minor illusion,
or light. I mean, would he need light?
Sure.
Let's do light. He doesn't have dark vision, so I think light is
okay. Sounds great.
Light or
dancing. We've also get some more with warlock, so we can come back to it. I think. At the spell level, we don't get to retrain our spells except every couple levels. So I think we have to be a little bit smart about this.
So
we only get up to second level spells, but we do get a bunch of them. We get seven.
Yes.
I definitely think Fairy Fire is on near the top of the list.
Yeah, I think Silvery Barbs is a must.
Yep, Silvery Barbs is a must.
I think Cure Wounds or Healing Word. Maybe Healing Word.
Okay.
Just because Healing Word is the one at range.
Yep.
Yeah, so I think Healing Word. And then then we get into other...
I think Hideous Laughter.
Yeah, Tasha's Hideous Laughter is always pretty good, and we've got a pretty good...
Because we've got a good con... check, and we it'd be nice to have some good concentrate. We've now upped our con, so it gives us some con, worthwhile con. Now we need three more.
I'm gonna say Lesser Restoration.
Okay, I'm down with that.
That's just always really useful.
I, I'm going to I would go for the next one, depending on how we want to play them. I mean, we've already got a couple of concentration one here, so I'm a little hesitant to say Phantasmal Force as much as I like it.
Can I make a pitch? Yeah,
go for it.
Pyrotechnics.
Sure. It's such a weird spell, man.
It's such a weird spell. Why not? But like, I mean, on a ship, the ability to like, you know, make someone's fire like explode into fireworks is always
And
you basically get like a variation on fog cloud.
Yeah, it's weird, but I love it. Then I think the next choice then is either Phantasmal Force, Mirror Image, or Suggestion.
The Yankee also gives us like Misty Step, I think.
It does, and Mage Hand. No, because we're not, well, does it? Yes, it does. We have Misty Step, right? Yep.
Yeah. So
maybe Shatter. I don't know. Or Invisibility. Visibility is pretty useful. Okay. Andy, you know what? Yeah. I think it's Heat Metal.
I mean, he is a cook, right?
Yeah.
I think it's heat metal. I think that's a good defensive offensive spell.
Yeah.
So, for this pirate. Yeah.
Yeah. And you could ditch if you wanted to, you know, you could always ditch techniques for something else if you wanted to find something.
It's silly. I like it. So now we need to do our warlock spells.
We're 100%
three more cantrips. We have
a lot of cantrips.
So Mind Sliver.
Eldritch Blast has to be taken.
Oh, right. Yes, of course. Sorry.
Yeah, we got to take Eldritch Blast. We don't need Mage Hand.
Mind Sliver or Lightning Lure.
Create a disorder.
Pull people through closer, throw them away. You know, Toll the Dead is also interesting.
I'm going to say either Mind Sliver or Toll the Dead.
I like Mind Sliver just because it has more usefulness, because we're not going to, like, Toll the Dead is good if you're trying to do damage, but we've already got a lot of damage. We've got our damage cantrip. Mind Sliver is if you've got a partner and you want him to, it's you want like to help take advantage
mini,
of that.
Mini Bane thing.
Yeah, really take advantage of somebody missing a saving throw. We get one more.
There is Green Flame Blade.
Oh, interesting.
Which I believe you can apply to your packed weapon.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
And it basically increases
more damage. I love it. Let's do Green Flame Blade.
More damage. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
And basically, it's also like it just
thematically
takes cool. Quite. Yeah. It's thematically just kind of interesting.
All right. So then we get five more spells. We're going to not very high level spells, but a lot of them.
I think we have to take Hex.
Absolutely.
And I think you have to take Armor of Agathys.
I think so too. I agree. I was just looking at that. I like Hellish Rebuke too. We don't have a lot of. Nice to get another reaction spell in there.
There's like Create and Destroy Water, which is on theme. You can create up to 10 gallons of clean water, which can be a cube or whatever, or you can destroy 10 gallons of water at higher levels. You get to destroy more of it. It's more thematic than it is.
I think we've already got one super thematic.
What about? Oh, they have Mirror Image again. Taking Mirror Image would be smart.
Just more defensive spells I think are good. All right, so we have Armor of Agathys, Hex, and Mirror Image, and we've got two more. Hold Person is on the list here,
as is Darkness. Or what's a weird one?
Andy, is Gust of Wind.
Yes, let's take Gust of Wind. I like weird.
Yeah. I mean, that's just on theme for a pirate, you know, get your sails going.
I feel like Shatter is on theme too, you know, just
the ability. Shatter, to okay, one other then I'll make another pitch. Spider Clone.
Ooh, we have a really good acrobatics. I mean, our acrobatics is plus 9.
That's true. Yeah, but you could like run along the side of the ship. I mean,
that's true. You can do like all kinds of super crazy shit.
Ridiculous stuff.
And you can breathe underwater, so you can literally like run down the side of the boat into the water up and under the other side. Okay, I'm in. I'll take Spider Climb. I think that's
all right. I think we've got our build.
Why don't we just do our overview of the whole guy?
Right. Yeah. So we've got a Gith Yankee, fourth level bard, fourth level fathomless warlock with a boon weapon. His name is Benji Hana. And he's a chef. Cast out from his spell jammer. And he's now on the terrestrial plane running around pirating. He's got a 10 strength, a 16 dex, a 14 con, an 8 intelligence, a 12 wisdom, and a 19 charisma. He's got a plus 4 to initiative. His armor is class is 15. He's got 40 feet of walking speed due to his mobile feet. He's got 59 hit points, which is really not bad. His proficiencies, he's got a plus 9 to acrobatics, a plus 3 to athletics, a plus 5 to deception, a plus 7 to intimidation. These are just the standouts.
I mean,
plus 5 to performance and a plus 10 to persuasion and a plus 6 just sleight of hand. Those are all pretty gosh darn good. He's got a passive wisdom of 14, a passive insight of 12. He's got advantage on dex and charisma saving throws with a +6 and a +7. And he's got a bunch of really cool features from his Fathomless and his College of Swords bard background.
So yeah, just talking about his, some of the actions he can take. So, you know, he's got his rapier that he can attack with that he's, you know, he's got a plus, it's a +6. He's got a 1d8 +5. If he's got green flame blade, that's adding yet more damage. Then he has Eldritch Blast, which is 120-foot range, +7 to hit. It's a d10 +4. It is frankly like his, ought to be his preferred thing. He's got in bonus in terms of other actions. He, as a bonus action, he can use the Tentacle of the Deeps as an attack, which is again +6 and does a d8 +4 of cold damage. He has a whole host of, he's got about 4 bardic inspirations. And he can also, his chef stuff allows him to do things like cook the treats that we talked about before, giving everybody temporary hit points. It's just 3, but it's, hey, any attempt at points are good hit points. And then he can also, you know, he can essentially help his party members regain extra hit points during short rests. He also has his flourishes from the College of Swords. So he's got a defensive flourish, which increases his mobility yet again. He can deal extra damage with that. He's got a slashing flourish, which again increases his speed, and then it lets him add more, it looks like add more damage. And he's got basically a bunch of flourishes, which are all pretty cool. And then he's got a huge stack of spells. As far as cantrips go, he's got Eldritch Blast, Green Flame Blade, Light, Mage Hand as part of being Githyanki, Minor Illusion as part of being a Warlock, Prestidigitation, and Vicious Mockery. So a cup, like 3 damage dealing ones, and then 4 very good kind of utility.
But I would play him. One thing I would do, so on a short rest, he only gets back his 2 pack spells. So I would probably start off, I think you can upcast. Yeah, I would probably upcast Armor of Agathys and then cast Hex. Like the first, those would be like my 2 of my first moves in combat, because I get those back. And they're, I don't know if, does Hex upcast at all?
So I mean, that's a weird thing about Warlocks for everybody who's listening. You always cast your packed spells at max level, right? So if you, for whatever reason, had Fireball and you were casting 5th level spells as a Warlock, you're always casting a 5th level Fireball.
Yeah, but you only get 2 slots, but you only get two slots on a short rest.
Yeah, but it's basically, you got to think of the magic that you're putting out is, it is one reason to be very thoughtful about the spells you choose, because you have a very limited number of packed slots. But this is kind of like having the bards are, it's very funny because it's like bards don't get a lot of spell slots and Warlocks don't get a lot of spell slots, but you combine the two and then all of a sudden you start to get like five second level spell slots
is pretty ridiculous,
and 4 first level spell slots at, you know, level 8, that's, you're pumping out a lot of good magic.
Yeah, and you can use your Misty Step without casting the spell, or you could use it as a 2nd level spell. Again, you could do, the cool thing about it is I would definitely use either the Hex, the Armor of Agathys, or Misty Step in your first couple of rounds in order to then, because you'll get those back on a short rest, and then hold on to your bard spell slots a little bit longer, or cast them at lower level. The Armor of Agathys, though, there is a real benefit. You get 10 temporary hit points and you do 10 damage. It's pretty cool.
When someone hits you,
yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool. I like the whole idea that like the Armor of Agathys is like, goes hand in hand with the tentacle, which is also cold damage. It's like,
yeah, exactly. That you're manifesting all this
icy death.
Yeah.
The tentacles are really cool. I was just rereading those. They're really neat. Like, you get these tentacles and you get them to put them around the battlefield and move them around and they do damage. And you could, I'll just blast somebody away and then use the tentacle
kind of like,
as a bonus action to then hit them again. But from a, you know, like you're all doing it from a distance.
And at higher levels, they like start restraining stuff. Yeah, I mean, it is kind of like, it's a very funny, like martial.
This guy actually sounds fun to play.
Yeah, there's a lot of like weird options, which is always the fun part.
Andy, we're going to be doing a guest appearance on another show.
The folks over at Crit Eating Grin
coming up. Maybe this is the guy you play.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm playing a warlock sorcerer. I've already got my character set up, but maybe.
Do they tell us what level we get to be?
Level 8. Oh, shocking up.
Well, shockingly, I guess, guys, you're going to get to see Benji Hanna in
it's a one-shot. He's perfect for a one-shot.
He's perfect for a one-shot. Totally insane. Poor DM is going to be like going like, wait, you can do what?
It's so weird. It's such a weird build. And then we'll both have Eldritch Blast. I mean, like,
okay, what are we doing? I'm like, I'm blasting him and run away. Oh wait, he's in your face. Oh, well, then I'm going to manifest a sword and start chopping him. Wait, huh? Like,
yeah. Oh my God. So, because nobody, what's really weird is that nobody takes the blade boon without Hexblade. And that's why I was sort of thrown by it. I'm like, wait, it doesn't do what I expect. Oh, it's because normally you would have Hexblade with it. But it's kind of just fun and weird and strange. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, okay. People.
I think you had another thing you wanted to tell us.
I've got two pirate jokes, Andy. We're going to do a double up. We're going to double up.
Okay.
All right. Well, Benji's pirate ship.
Yep.
So his pirate ship, which was carrying red paint, crashed into a pirate ship carrying blue paint.
Purple paint?
Both crews were marooned.
Jesus. Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Okay.
You were onto the right thing.
I'm like, wait, where is that going with?
In my D&D games, Andrew, lately, 3.14% of all sailors are special.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're pie rats.
Pie rats. I got it. Wah, wah.
You got to double up. I doubled up on you.
You did. I think I made that joke at the beginning. But you did.
And then that's why I said, I've got another one. I've got two pirate jokes. This is amazing. Perfect. I actually got a third one somewhere too, but those are nice. I like the marooned one.
Yes, I like it too.
All right, you want to do the socials and then walk
out? Yeah. So everybody, thanks. If you're following us, thanks for following. If you like what you're hearing, please rate and review us on the various places, especially Apple is a great place to give us a rating and review. I think we've got 19, maybe 20 5-star reviews, which is very exciting. Good. More is better always, but thanks again for everybody for listening. And then if you want to see other episodes and all the rest of us, you can basically all of our socials and everything are all listed on our link tree, which is linktr.ee/thedadvantage. You can find past episodes there. You can find our merch if you want a Dadvantage t-shirt. You can find links to all of our socials, which is we're on Instagram, we're on the Facebook, we're on a little bit on the Threads, and a little bit, and we're present on TikTok, although not terribly active yet. Do you have any thoughts about what you might like to see?
It's the 2024 plan. We have busy lives, and that's just another thing. That's just another thing on the list.
This is a passion project, everyone, amongst any number of other passions. Passion
projects,
Just remember, Dadvantage. Dadvantage always sponsored by Dodeca Donuts. Yes,
infinitely, endlessly,
endlessly sponsored by Dodeca Donuts.
Absolutely, it's mutual love between Dadvantage and Dodeca Donuts.
We're synergistic exercises.
The distance is zero. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Yes. Thank you.